Number 5B.
Okay, so he comes to his first conclusion, namely that elementary particles in Newton's sense do not exist. So it breaks down our Newtonian concept of matter. As they say, they do not exist. Second, we must find new concepts in order to be able to understand and define the reality. That billiard ball concept, as it is usually coined, that billiard ball concept is no more valid, and that he sees that the greatest difficulty is that we gain a new conceptions, that we find a new language and a completely new conception how to look at matter. So he says there is a complete dematerialization that takes place today. Dematerialization. Then he goes further and says, finally, Einstein has found that mass and energy can be exchanged, and so they found that actually we have to do with forces, and we know that there are four fundamental forces: the gravitation, the electromagnetic forces, and the strong and the weak nuclear forces. So from matter, dematerializing matter, he comes to forces, to four great forces. I don't know yet how to build that together into one formula. But then he goes on, and now here it becomes interesting. Here he goes on and says, yes, but investigating this, we have great reservation about that Big Bang theory. So that Big Bang theory that was standing in honor for 40 years is questioned today, that it may not have happened, that it may be a myth, because they begin to see that behind that Big Bang, which was only an explosion of forces, it says there is something different, and he calls it symmetries, that the universe consists of symmetries, not matter, not forces, but much deeper down than matter and forces are symmetries. And he says, naturally, we can't figure out what that means. It needs mathematics to define it and to calculate it. That symmetries of our space-time structure are still a deeper principle than the forces. So can you see what happens? That the symmetries then are really that which define the forces, and the forces then define the qualities of matter. So that deep down are symmetries. Now, neither you nor I can figure out what that means. He gives a nice example and says, look here, if you take a pencil, I have one here, and put it on the top of the pencil, this is not the top, then it's in a state of symmetry, as long as it stands, just for a short time. That means when it stands upright, the symmetry is in balance, because all the many influences or elements that have to take into consideration that defines the symmetry is at balance. But suddenly the symmetry falls. If one of the many factors that are acting in the universe is changing a little bit, it falls. And you don't know which way. It gets at the symmetries break. Symmetries break. It's no more symmetry. They break. And then they come to the point that they say, therefore, there exist many universes at the same time, woven into each other, every universe at a different state of development, and therefore they don't know each other, because they have no knowledge of each other, because they have different states. And so we must consider what he calls an inflationary universe. That's his new term. That the that behind the Big Bang are symmetries, and that symmetries are constantly changing, breaking, getting out of balance, constantly bringing forth new balances, and therefore it is an inflationary universe. So that there exist many universes, but they are at a different state of development. They exist next to each other. They are interwoven with each other. And this allows the concept of a universe without beginning or ending. Yeah? So suddenly, instead of having a beginning, in the beginning was the world, you have no more beginning. Huh? You have no beginning nor ending. So when this symmetries tip over or are breaking, you can have a Big Bang. But in other universes you have something else happening. It gives us the sense of a terrific wide universe, which says what? Symmetries are not stuff, are not forces, are not matter, are not stuff. They are transcendental ideas. So he goes further and says, therefore we have to do with a transcendental background of the universe. So that the universe, he says, looks much more like a philosophical machine than a material machine. Everything is resolved into metaphysics, it's resolved into metaphysics. And we know that Mrs. Eddy would go on and would say, yes, that mind, metaphysics, is actually behind that mind, small m, is actually the divine mind. And so she says, the divine mind is both cause and effect, which brings again cause and effect together, which says there is no beginning and there is no end. So that in this way, actually what John saw, that there is just one being, and that there is no beginning, no end, that actually, and yet it gives it in the four. It is actually what you call the, of the circle, the quadrature of the circles, the squaring of the circle. Huh? You get, so to say, the squaring of the circle. You see the four, but the four are not in a linear way, one two leading to the next, but the city four square is that where the fourth joins the first again, and so a square, so to say, the circle. That's what they begin to see, that we are living actually in a metaphysical, transcendental universe. And the interesting thing is, I could go on, is naturally that they see that it all depends on our tools of observation. With a mortal has which kind of tools of observation? He has thinking, mind. He sees matter. He doesn't see spirit with matter. And has the five physical senses. Orthodox science says, only then is something true when you can prove it finally to the five physical senses. If something happens like electricity, which you can't see, then you must translate it into instruments which symbolize what's going on in the unseen so that you can see it with your eyes. What does it mean? It means that what Mrs. Eddy has found is of such enormous importance. She is showing that the human mind is not giving the truth, cannot know the truth, the human mind. She says, matter is not substance. And she says, the testimony of the physical senses are unreliable. Exactly those three, mind, spirit, soul, are those that are necessary in the inverse sense in order that we take notice of our universe. Take away mortal mind, take away matter, take away physical sense testimony, what kind of a universe do we have? Mrs. Eddy comes and says, I give you a universe that is built on the divine mind, that takes only aware what is spiritual, and that you can only sense through spiritual sense and soul sense and not through physical sense. Then you have a new tool, a new tool of observation, so to say. Can you see the importance that Mrs. Eddy gave us, mind, spirit, soul, before she could give us the true sense of life, truth and love? Because life, truth and love cannot be seen, we cannot make it aware, so to say, except through the tools of observation in science, which is divine mind, spirit and soul. So you have on one side of the candlestick, you have mind, spirit, soul as your tools of observation. And I mean with observation, with thinking, with contemplating. And life, truth and love is that which you can then be aware of. Without mind, spirit, soul, we cannot be aware of life, truth and love. It's impossible. We can talk about it. We can talk our head off about it. But it doesn't mean a thing if that is not based on our inner attitude of observation, of contemplation, based on divine mind, spirit and soul. See, already 40 years ago that Jane Cheans, who was a Nobel Prize, Nobel laureate, you call it laureate, yes, said, well, the universe today looks much more like a big thought than like a big machine. Today that man says the same thing without quoting him and says, well, it's actually a philosophical machine, that universe, much more philosophical than a material thing. Now, this was showing the analysis as the scientists today see it. If we come together in 20 years, they will say something else again. But still going that way of analysis, way back where we can see that they are touching the borderline of metaphysics, and we would say the borderline of divine mind as the cause and effect of all. Mrs. Eddy was very good. Mrs. Eddy said, because we were talking about these forces, Mrs. Eddy said, adhesion, cohesion, and attraction, these are forces, are properties of mind capitalized. That always bothered my mind. I could never understand that. That what we call a physical force, like adhesion, cohesion, and attraction, I would have thought they are forces of mortal mind. But she says they are properties of mind, capital M. They belong to the divine principle. They belong to that logos, that which is behind the whole creation. They belong to that divine principle and support the equipoise, the equilibrium of that thought force which launched the earth into its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and no further. And that's what happened in cosmology, that these forces exploded to a point where it says thus far and no further, or the universe either explodes or implodes. One begins to see that Mrs. Eddy was thinking in a big way about the universe, that she was not only just a new medical healer, huh? Just saying, I have, instead of your drugs and your medicine and your tablets, I give you some other healing method. She was a cosmologist, and we haven't yet found out how big a cosmologist she is. But we should find out by now. You know, we said, well, we read the textbook and the prose works and so on, and actually we can understand now more or less every sentence, and they make sense, each sentence by itself. But there were always at least two statements that I never understood. This one was one of them. And the second is quite near to it. The second that I could never understand is in prose work, where she talks about the new birth, and there she says, well, what is now this new child? What is the name of the new child, what you bring forth? She said, it's Christ science. Yes, one can understand that. That the new birth is not the baby with two legs and two arms, but is Christ science. And then she says, what is its form? What is the form of it? And the answer was, it's absolutely symmetrical. I never could understand what that meant. It's symmetrical. And now I begin to feel, perhaps one begins to understand it. because they are further down the forces. They begin to see that the universe has something to do with great symmetries. And great symmetries, when they change, like in a kaleidoscope, when they change, when they tip over, they build new symmetries, new universes, quite new universes. This is actually something that Einstein has also already seen quite a while ago. You know, he already said, well, if he would have the right tools of perception, he would see perhaps a train running through this room. But because we don't have the right tools of perception, we still are somehow limited to mortal mind, matter, and sense testimony, we can't see it, because these are not the concepts with which we can fathom reality. So we must see that we must find the right tools in order to fathom reality. In order to bring that thought further, I'm going the other way around now. What I have been showing through the paper of this man, the analysis, the arrow of analysis, as one calls it, the direction of analysis going from heart, billiard ball matter, right down through the atoms and the electrons, and right down to the forces, and then from the forces to symmetries, and then to a metaphysical idea. If we go the other way, namely forward, from now forward, which they call the arrow of evolution, then we can quickly summarize what happened. What was the evolution when we go back to the Big Bang and see, well, in the order of evolution, we had the Big Bang, that were forces, then there were the building of matter, celestial bodies, and matter formed, then organic matter, life in matter, then we saw consciousness, that was that state in which we are in the evolution, but consciousness is neutral. Consciousness doesn't say anything about the quality of consciousness. So if we say, well, we are in an era of consciousness coming out the evolution of life in matter into a greater evolution of consciousness or into an information universe, consciousness is neutral. So the big question that confronts us is actually, well, what kind of consciousness should we have? That's a great question. So the modern thinkers are now looking into the future and see that they begin to detect a spiritual principle of evolution. They no more see that evolution is evolution of matter. They begin to see that evolution is the very opposite. Namely, it's giving up the restraints of matter. That's evolution. Matter losing constantly more and more its limitations, its restraints. And therefore, blunt matter, dead matter, the moment it became organic matter, lost a lot of its restraints, became living. When living matter became consciousness, it lost a lot of its restraints, of its limitations. And so the whole trend is now seen away from a material principle to a spiritual principle, as we have seen also in Mrs. Eddy's chapter on spiritualism. So evolution, the arrow of evolution goes forward and forward. We know that man, as we consider to be man, is not really man. All the biologists begin to see that between the chimpanzee and man is a link, and that link are we. We are that link. We are not man. They see that so clearly. They say, this, what we call man, is not man. This is the link from the chimpanzee to the real man. And what is that real man? They see, well, the real man is spiritual. That's no more new to the biologists. They begin to see that. So that they begin to have a glean that everything is going towards a consciousness that is wholly spiritual. And the consciousness that is wholly spiritual is a spiritual man that has no body. They are quite thinkers. Huh? So what can we see? That the arrow of evolution goes forward. I repeat perhaps some of the sentences, that evolution is directed towards a spiritual principle, that evolution is forming higher structures of order, that the world will be spiritualized, not materialized, spiritualized, that the cosmos will be resolved into a spiritual principle, that man of the future will be the embodiment of a spiritual principle. Isn't it terrific? The embodiment of a spiritual principle. They call us, living us, the Neanderthal man of the future. The Neanderthal man lived about 70,000 years ago, you know. It just popped off like this. Huh? He says, we are the Neanderthal for the future. And they look back to us, they think they were funny people. Huh? Was that already people, or were they still a bit better than the chimpanzees? Yeah. Okay, so Mrs. Eddy says, well, man is found in the likeness of spirit. Now, I tried to show these two directions. The one was the arrow of analysis, going out from what we have today, from a false concept of matter, going way back and say, where did it come from? Finding that it didn't come from matter, perhaps from forces. The forces didn't come from what? From symmetries. Where did the symmetries come from? They are philosophical ideas. Where are philosophical ideas coming from? From mind. Mind is the cause and effect of everything. If we go forward in the arrow of evolution, we see that the whole development goes forward towards spirit, in the order of spirit. So, and in that way closes the circle, going back to mind and going forward to spirit, so that we really see what Mrs. Eddy says is true, that mind brings forth the order of spirit. That's the job of mind, of the divine mind, that it constantly brings forth the order of spirit. Whatever that order of spirit is, in a very slight way, it is the order of the 7 days of creation. It goes further and further and brings forth higher and higher orders. That's the Logos. That's the Logos. In its principle, there was the Logos. Just a quickie. We are at the point where we begin to see that material science is not what we hoped it would be. That we can't trust it. And that it is a dangerous thing. And the thinkers therefore begin to see the following, that we are using only part of our abilities in order to investigate realities. But the material sciences only uses the mental, intellectual abilities of men. They don't use the more spiritual abilities, like intuition, like inspiration. And so they say, well, we have only taken into consideration half of the possibilities, and we have neglected another half, namely that which has to do with intuition and so on. So they say, let's see and investigate also intuition, also inspiration. Let's investigate that as it was so before the scientific age broke on the Western world, when in the Eastern world they had more the Eastern philosophies, the Eastern tools of investigating reality. So they go back, so to say, to the past instead of going forward to the future. And that is seen so much these days. You take people, real good scientists, like Capra, who was a good physical scientist. he turned to the Eastern traditions. Take Bohm, David Bohm, a real good physical heart scientist. He goes and sees, I need something more. I go back to the, really, to the traditions. Take other things, like Weizsäcker, who is a real tough physical scientist. He said, something is missing, just investigating the universe with intellect. Let's have something else. He goes back to India and sits at the feet of a guru. And so you have them by the dozen. Take Harman, the wonderful man who is the director of the Institute for Noetic Science. He sees that too, that the intellect is not that which alone can open up the reality. He goes back to the traditions. Why not go forward? Why should we always go backward instead of forward? The East has not gone forward with the West, therefore stayed back. Why should we now go back to the East? Why should we not go forward to where Mrs. Eddy goes? To that where the other thinkers go and say, no, no, no. I go forward and begin to see, if I go forward, the spiritual principle of being is opening up. And so many of them say, it's the spiritual principle that we have to investigate. But most say we are already too old to do that. We must leave that to a new generation that has to come. And so Mrs. Eddy, in her chapter on spiritualism, tells us that we should go forward and not backward. Going back is spiritualism. Going forward is spirit. So let's go forward into the realm of spirit. Okay, that's enough for today.